Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Department of Corrections come in, changed a couple things. We're trying to work that out. Obviously, we're in the process of...
Maryland County's new jail is not quite finished.
Moorhead's old ladder truck will still be in service.
Democratic leaders in Frankfort have requested the Attorney General's opinion on Capitol access.
The man convicted of attacking Senator Rand Paul has been sentenced.
The name of the man whose body was found in Floyd County State Park has been released.
In sports, the Reds face off with the Pirates tonight in Pittsburgh.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
For the weather, clear skies tonight and lows around 63 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after the news.
Officials at the Rowan County Detention Center are still waiting for the green light to move into their new $18 million facility on U.S. 60 East. The initial hope was to begin operations in the 275-bed building by the middle of this month, but jailer Wes Coldiron says workers aren't done putting some finishing touches on the building, and some necessary pieces of equipment are still being installed.
We're in the process of ordering a bunch of items that we need in our new facility, and a lot of that has come in, so we've been up there trying to put them away, put them where they need to go. Obviously, with, like I said, it takes a lot in a facility that size. We've got stuff that's going to take probably a good week or so to put away, putting some cabinets together, all that kind of stuff.
Coldiron says his staff is also checking to make sure various pieces of the new facility's technology work properly. At this point, he remains uncertain as to when he and his staff and the jail inmates will be able to move into the building.
Moorhead will soon unveil its plan for developing the former Perkins property near the Greenhill City Park, so says Mayor Jim Tom Trent. The city bought the land last year for $1 million and will start construction there in a few weeks on a splash pad, while apologizing that the splash pad won't open until mid-August at the earliest. Trent says the $750,000 project is only the start of some big things planned for that site.
We're also working on, as a parallel to this, the master plan for that property. And we've got some other things we're going to do, too, and show them. So we're excited. A lot of exciting things happening, and it's just taken a huge team effort, and it's taken a lot of patience, and we ask the public for just a little bit more patience, and these things you'll start seeing them come out of the ground.
In addition to the splash pad, the city plans to construct a senior center, a parking lot along with a boat and kayak launch, along Triplet Creek on the old Perkins property.
Moorhead's fire department will get a new $1.2 million ladder truck later this summer, but that may not mean the end of service for the old one. Chief Jeff Anderson would like to keep the 34-year-old vehicle around for a couple of more years, since he says selling it would net the Moorhead Fire Department only about $10,000 to $15,000.
I just think it'd be better served, instead of scrapping it, to maybe try to keep it in our industrial park area or something, and as a backup if someone has space up around here, one of our other fire departments. But we'll negotiate that with city council and see what they want to do. They will make the ultimate decision on that.
Anderson plans to talk with officials from Rowan County's other fire departments to discuss their possible interest in the old ladder truck. The Moorhead Fire Department is expected to take delivery of its new truck in August.
The Fairview Board of Education in Ashland and its former superintendent have reached an agreement. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Former Superintendent Michael Taylor was suspended by the board in February, but the two parties have settled their differences. The Daily Independent reports that neither Taylor nor the Board of Education admits any liability, and the recent agreement settles any legal differences. The agreement will pay Taylor his May salary of $8,200 plus 30% of his daily rate for his 168 unused sick days. Taylor will receive a little over $29,000 before taxes, plus his retirement benefits up to the end of May. Under the agreement, Taylor is prohibited from making any legal claims about his work there and from attempting to get any district employee to hire or fire anyone employed during his time as superintendent. For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
After a group was denied access to the state capitol last week, Democratic lawmakers are asking for an opinion on the matter from the state attorney general. A group called Kentucky's Poor People's Campaign rallied on the Capitol steps June 4th, but were told only two at a time could enter the Capitol Rotunda when they tried to enter the building. State police allegedly told the group access had been restricted by a new regulation. House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins says this isn't the first time people have been kept out of the Capitol.
I know that the tunnel that was basically blocked off where teachers were lining that tunnel and rallying us as we would go to the Capitol. But the last 2 days of the session, that became much more restrictive, and teachers were not allowed in that tunnel any longer. And it became much harder the last 2 days of the session for teachers and public employees as they were rallying there to get in the Capitol building as well.
Lawmakers have requested an opinion from the Attorney General, specifically on whether access policies can be changed without public notice. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to click it or ticket. Seatbelt use in Kentucky is 86.8%, below the national average of 90.1%. Half of those killed last year in motor vehicle crashes were not wearing a seatbelt. The Kentucky Department of Highway Safety reminds you to buckle up every trip, every time. It will save lives. Click it or ticket.
The widow of a murdered U.S. Marine takes the stand. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
Jonathan and Megan Price were both shot outside of a bar in Lexington in 2014. Megan survived, but Jonathan died from his injuries. In the second day of trial, Megan described how they were celebrating her birthday when they were approached by two men.
I tried to get to Jonathan and I couldn't. Because I had been shot.
Winsenio Canada and Duan Molazim are charged in the murder. Both men could face the death penalty if convicted. I'm Haley Hansen.
The man convicted of attacking Senator Rand Paul was sentenced in federal court for the assault today. Rene Boucher was sentenced to 30 days in federal prison and was given a $10,000 fine. He was also ordered to not have contact with the Paul family. He will be on supervised release for 1 year. Boucher attacked Paul back in November of last year as Paul was mowing his lawn. He claimed the dispute stemmed over yard debris.
Kentucky State Police were called to a shooting in a rural Pike County community yesterday. As it turns out, it wasn't the first time they'd been called to the home. According to EKB-TV, David Adkins was arrested for shooting his brother last June. He was initially charged with attempted murder, but a grand jury later dropped that charge to second-degree assault. 3 months ago, he pleaded guilty to fourth-degree assault and was released on a 12-month suspended sentence. Adkins is once again in jail, and once again, he is charged with shooting the same brother a second time. The incident happened around noon Thursday at a residence on Peter Fork. Police say Kevin Adkins was shot and was transported to the hospital in a private vehicle. According to Kentucky State Police, the motive for the shooting is unclear at this time. David Adkins was arrested and charged with first degree assault. He remains lodged in the Pike County Detention Center.
A Floyd County grand jury has indicted an inmate who punched another inmate and killed him. According to the indictment released this morning, Scotty Gibson was charged with murder for, quote, wantonly endangering in conduct, which created a grave risk of death to Adam Potter and thereby causing the death of Adam Potter. WYMT reports a security video from inside the detention center showed Gibson hitting Potter with one punch that ended up killing him. Gibson remains in the Floyd County Detention Center. He's being held on a $1 million bond.
Police have identified the body of a man found at Jenny Wiley State Park in Floyd County. According to WYMT, 40-year-old Tipton Allen of Pounding Mill, Virginia, was found Wednesday. Officials say the death appears to be from natural causes rather than foul play. The case is still under investigation.
In a report done by the Kentucky Department for Public Health, at least 761 cases of hepatitis A have happened in the state this year. According to WKYT, 15 of the cases occurred in Montgomery County. The county's public health director, Jan Chamness, says regardless of the cost, everyone should get vaccinated.
We are not going to present cost as a barrier of getting that vaccine. If it's a vaccine-preventable disease, why not?
Chamness says the county is planning to start vaccinating inmates at the regional jail as well.
Employees in Fleming County will receive a new health insurance provider, WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The decision was made by the fiscal court on Tuesday. According to the Ledger Independent, the search began after the previous provider, Baptist Health, went out of business. The court wanted to find a health insurance similar to their previous one. Both Paris Insurance Agency and the Hinton Agency gave proposals to the court. Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says only three other companies would even be interested: Humana, Anthem, and United Healthcare. After much discussion, the court decided to accept Hinton as their new health insurance provider. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Officials with the National Weather Service in Jackson say a heat wave will be hitting Kentucky this weekend, but it's not unusual. Meteorologist Chuck Grief is with NWS, and he says this sort of thing occurs every once in a while.
Typically, you can get things that will set up, especially this time of year, for long periods of time. So you can even go 4 to 6 weeks where you just kind of get a heat wave that comes in and sets up. Occasionally, you get a break in that where you'll get a cold front comes through and brings some rain moving through, but then the heat builds right back up after that.
Grief says the heat wave should only last until late next week.
Taking a look at the weather, in Lexington, it's 87 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 84 degrees. In Ashland and Winchester, it's 87 degrees. In Inez, it's 85 degrees. And right here in Moorhead, it's 84 degrees.
Looking at your extended weather forecast for our region, tonight clear with lows around 63 degrees. On Saturday, it's going to get hot on us, up to 91 degrees. Saturday night, more clear skies, lows around 68. And on Sunday, sunny skies and a high of 94 degrees. On our feature segment today, the police department in Moorhead is going to be short about three officers. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
One officer resigned and two are retiring, which means the Moorhead Police Department is in search of new officers. Captain Kyle Callahan says it isn't as easy as it seems.
We can't just hire somebody and have them tomorrow. You know, I mean, this is it's kind of a highly trained position due to, I guess, lawsuits that could come from it. You know, we want to have the best trained people that we have.
Callahan says the hiring process is extensive and difficult.
Once we start taking applications, once we do all of our testing that we have, you know, we do a physical agility test, we do a written test, and then once you pass those two, you move on to an interview, and we have a panel that interviews officers. And once all that's done, it's really when the work gets started.
Typically, the department gets applications from untrained and veteran officers. If they're untrained, they need to go to police academy first. Callahan says scheduling is the worst part.
We have some administrative positions. You know, we have a detective, captain, and their chief. And so we've got the people, but some people that usually doesn't work the patrol, you know, we call out and we take away from our specialized unit in order to cover the shift and try to provide enough coverage to cover everything that goes on in the city.
During the hiring process, Callahan says they will have help from campus authorities.
One good thing that has worked over the last year and a half or so is our relationship with the Moorhead State University Police. I think we have a pretty good relationship. Lieutenant Hunt from MSU has called, asked us for help, and we've called and asked them for help in different occasions. And both of us have worked together very well in order to achieve what we want, and that is just try to keep the community safe and keep the traveling public and students safe.
For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 4:45 and 84 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kyle Blankenbuehler, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Friday afternoon. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you again for joining us. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for programming on Moorhead State Public Radio is provided in part by Kentucky Wine, celebrating Kentucky commercial wineries that date back to 1799. Kentucky Wine blends history and heritage with modern practices. The Drink KY app serves as a passport to local winemakers. Online at KentuckyWine.com.
The Reds are in play tonight. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Reds return from Thursday's off day tonight as they start a series with the Pittsburgh Pirates at 7:05 in the Still City. The Reds will be getting back on the field after sweeping two interleague games in Kansas City. Interim skipper Jim Riggleman says his team has been helped recently by starting pitchers who have gone deeper into games, which is giving his overworked relievers a much-needed break.
We've gone now, that's four times with our pitchers, no less than six innings and as much as eight. So, you know, you get that. You're going to win ball games, you know. So, you know, you're going to win your share anyway.
Former Met right-hander Matt Harvey will take his 1-4 record to the mound tonight for Cincinnati. The Pirates will start 4-4 Chad Kuhl. Also from the majors, the Minnesota Twins have returned first baseman Joe Mauer from his rehab assignment and reinstated him from the disabled list after a 25-game absence because of a neck strain and concussion-like symptoms resulting from a dive for a foul ball. The move was made today before Minnesota's game at Cleveland, and Twins third baseman Miguel Sano was sent to Class A Fort Myers yesterday. And according to NBC Sports, the Oakland A's have signed former Sooners quarterback Kyler Murray, who they drafted in the first round of this year's draft. The ninth overall selection in the draft, Murray appeared in seven games for the Sooners football team in 2017 after sitting out of the 2016 following his transfer from Texas A&M, where he appeared in nine games. Murray was the favorite to replace Baker Mayfield next season for the Sooners' quarterback position. Oregon State pitcher Luke Heimlich is the probable starter in the opening game of the College World Series tomorrow, and he said he is ready for any kind of reception he receives from the fans on the sport's biggest stage. Heimlich, who is 22 years old, is in Omaha a year after it was disclosed he had pleaded guilty to sexually abusing a young relative when he was 15. He has denied wrongdoing in recent interviews with Sports Illustrated and the New York Times, saying he entered the guilty plea to spare his family the ordeal of a trial. Moorhead State continues to search for a new softball coach. Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says he's received over 70 resumes for the job.
Well, we've had a really active and vibrant search. There's a lot of interest in the position, and so we're working through those applications. We're very hopeful, still on our same timeline, to talk with some candidates in the next 8 or 10 days and make a decision.
Hutchinson wants to have a new softball coach in place by July 1st. MSU needs to replace David Williams, who was let go after 7 years on the job last month. Moorhead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin believes a tough opening schedule in 2018-19 will eventually pay off for the Eagles. As part of the season opening 2K Sports Classic, MSU will start with games at Connecticut and Syracuse. Spradlin admits while facing those big-time opponents will be a big challenge for his Eagles, it will help them prepare for the rigors of conference play.
Certainly we're not going to run into the length and athleticism that you know a Syracuse or a UConn is probably going to have. We're not going to have that consistently night in and night out. So it's only going to make you better. It's going to, you know, give you an opportunity to work on some things and see some looks that you may or may not see once you get into league play and really challenge you. You want to be challenged early before you get into that OVC schedule.
MSU will start next season with UConn on November 8th with a visit to Syracuse scheduled for 2 days later. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari thinks he'll have a very talented roster next season, but that could present him with an interesting dilemma. Calipari will have to find playing time for all those guys, which he admits may not be easy. However, the UK coach says it's unlikely he'll go back to the platoon system that he used a couple of years ago for rotating his players.
We know we can do it because I've done it before, but it's not something I want to do. I want the guys to compete. You know, this isn't communism. If somebody's way better than you, he plays and you don't. But I think, again, we got a lot of good kids, a lot of good players, and we'll let that play out.
Calipari also says the Cats will be using more 3- and 4-guard lineups next season. Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson will be honored with the NBA's Lifetime Achievement Award at the NBA Awards on June 25th. Robertson, the career leader with 181 triple-doubles, was the first player to average a triple-double for a season. He was the NBA's Rookie of the Year in 1961, MVP in 1964, won a championship with Milwaukee in 1971, and he was a co-captain on the 1960 U.S. team that won an Olympic gold medal. Robertson was a 9-time selection to the All-NBA First Team and was voted one of the league's 50 greatest players. Offensive coordinator Bill Lazor says the changes he's making to the Cincinnati Bengals' offensive playbook aren't really that big of a deal. Lazor says, truth be told, every NFL team makes some changes to its scheme every year because every year is different.
As far as what we do schematically and the language we use, it probably went as planned that we started the spring emphasizing what was new. I think it got a lot of people's attention and it got the guys going. So you got to do what your players do best. And I think every single year you evaluate, are we communicating the right way? Are we calling it the best way? Is there an easier way to do it? And really, to answer your question, yeah, people probably are making too much of it.
The Bengals wrapped up their mini camp Thursday. They'll start training camp at Paul Brown Stadium on July 26th. And lastly in sports, the Philadelphia Eagles players, coaches, and organization members have their new Super Bowl rings. The rings arrived yesterday and they are elaborate. The jewelry is cast in 10-karat white gold, features 219 diamonds, 17 green sapphires inscribed with each player's signature and the team's fight song, Fly Eagles Fly, and a waterfall of 127 diamonds, paying tribute to the Philly special. 127 is the sum of the jersey numbers of the three players who handled the ball in the most memorable play of the team's 41-33 Super Bowl victory over the New England Patriots. And Keith Von Horst, the star tackle for the San Francisco 49ers, died Tuesday at the age of 66. No cause of death was given. Von Horst won two Super Bowls in his 14 seasons with the franchise and was an All-Pro in 1984. He started 160 of the 193 games in which he appeared from 1974 to 1987. He retired because of a neck injury that caused him to miss 9 games during his last season. He dealt with neurological problems after his career was over. He was a second-round draft pick in 1974. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilton Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host an elite camp from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 11th at MSU's Recreation and Wellness Center. The camp is open to girls in grades 9 through 12. More information by calling the Women's Basketball Office at 783-5137 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. At 10 minutes before 4 o'clock, the Dow Industrials were down, although the Dow was up certainly from earlier levels. And, of course, the market sold off very sharply at the very beginning of trading today after the announcement of the Trump administration imposing a 25% charge on up to $50 billion in Chinese goods, raising fears of a trade war. And at 350, the Dow Industrials had a loss of 97.15 at 25,078.16. The S&P 500 is currently down 3.95 at 2778.54, and the NASDAQ Composite is down 13.78 at 7747.26. And, of course, as was widely anticipated, China promptly responded to the Trump administration's announcement, with the Chinese Commerce Ministry saying it will implement tariffs on the same scale as the U.S. And trade-sensitive companies such as Boeing and Caterpillar are under pressure today, with Boeing down 0.7% and Caterpillar down almost 2%. Treasury yields fell, with bond prices higher, with the benchmark 10-year note yield trading at 2.92%, while the short-term 2-year note yield slipped to 2.55%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 3.8% at $64.76 a barrel. Gold is down currently 2% at $1,282.60 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 1%. In Asia, the only market that was positive was the Nikkei. And elsewhere, you certainly had steep losses, with the Shanghai Composite down 0.7% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Procter & Gamble and Nike, while the worst performers were Caterpillar and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Discovery and Harley-Davidson, while the worst performers were Marathon Oil and Newfield Exploration. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 57 cents at 78.51, AEP up 76 cents at 66.65, CSX up 80 cents at 66.69, AK Steel down 17 cents at 4.63, Marathon Petroleum down $1.74 at 73.45, and Anthem was up $3.49 at 245.23. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, for tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies and lows around 63 degrees. On Saturday, abundant sunshine, hot and humid with highs near 90. On Saturday night, clear skies with lows around 68. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies with highs around 94. On Sunday night, a few clouds and stray showers and thunderstorms possible, with lows around 72. On Monday, mainly sunny, apart from a few afternoon clouds, stray showers and thunderstorms possible, with highs near 92. On Monday night, clear skies, with lows of 73. On Tuesday, sunshine and some clouds, with stray showers and thunderstorms possible, with highs of 92. And on Tuesday night, mostly clear skies with lows of 72.
Taking a look at some events that are coming up in our region, the Gateway Regional Arts Center is located on East Main Street in Mount Sterling. They're going to host an open mic night from 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, June 21st. Admission is free and a cash bar will be available.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling presents an international spotlight dinner featuring specially made cuisine from Western Africa on Saturday, June 30th. Dinner begins at 6 p.m. and a cash bar will be available. Tickets are $15 at the door.
The Moorhead Theater Guild will present Arthur Miller's The Crucible at the Rowan County Arts Center. The play will be staged the weekends of July 6th through the 8th and July 13th through the 15th, 7:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. on Sundays. Tickets are now on sale at the Rowan County Arts Center, $10 for adults and $5 for children.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Walmart from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday, July 6th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. Every donor will receive a free t-shirt.
Community Hospice in Ashland will sponsor a two-day volunteer training session from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on July 10th and 11th. The sessions will be held at the Community Hospice Care Center in Ashland. The sessions are free and all volunteers must complete the required training to be certified. You can get more information by calling 606-329-1890.
Moorhead State Women's Basketball will be hosting an elite camp from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, August 11th at MSU's Recreation and Wellness Center. The camp is open to girls in grades 9 through 12. There's more information by calling 783-5137.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Cody Robinson, Jacob Lindberg, Logan Pemberton, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Chaz Jenkins. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202 BHNINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kyle Blankenbuehler and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.